You're welcome to today's service. And today, we'll be continuing on the topic of the month. That is understanding, tool for life and for living. Now, over the past few weeks, the Reverend Pastor Daramola, Pastor Akiduko, they've come here to share a few things with us on understanding, and I want to assume that we've all grown better in the area of understanding. Now, over the course of the period, as I was listening to their ministrations and their numerous experiences, a few points stuck to me especially, and I'll use that as a starting point this evening. One of the points one of them said is that understanding delivers people from conflict. Understanding delivers people from conflict. Number two, lack of understanding will get you to make bad judgments. Number three, with an understanding heart, there is no situation you cannot turn around. The fourth point that got my attention is when you get understanding, you enter into the I see realm. It is an eye opener. And lastly, there are difficulties in life, but the tool to help is understanding. Understanding. Let's read from the book of Kings. 1 Kings 3, 5 to 9. I know Pastor talked about this in one of his ministrations. 1 Kings 3, 5 to 9. I read. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have showed great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge these great people of yours?" One, Solomon appreciated God for his kindness to David, his father, and for putting him, Solomon, in the throne of his father. Solomon was grateful for how far God had brought him. That's number one. Number two is that Solomon appreciated his inadequacies. He said, "I am but a little child. I don't know the steps to take. I don't know how to go out and come in." And also the fact that he was in the midst of God's great people. The people of God are great, and they were so numerous. So, to me, I see that as a challenge to Solomon. Can you imagine leading a great number of people And then you are still a young man. I'm a child. I don't know what to do. So he acknowledged his inadequacies. So Solomon made a case for his need for help in doing the job ahead of him, knowing that he was not able to function well in his current situation. If you want understanding to be a tool for your living successfully, you need to acknowledge you don't know it all and you need understanding. You need understanding. So Solomon asked for understanding and God gave to him what he asked and even much more. In that same 1 Kings 3, from verse 16 to 28, the Bible tells us what I will call the first demonstration of Solomon's understanding after God had given him, like a first test. And what happened? Two harlots living in the same house. The first one gave birth. The second one gave birth 3 days after, or 2 or 3 days after. The second one slept over the child, her own child, and that one died. And what she did, that she thought was very smart, while the first one was still sleeping, she exchanged the baby, gave the dead baby to the first woman, and took the baby that's alive for herself. When the first woman woke up and examined the baby, I don't know what she examined that made her confident that this is my baby. But I guess the mother must always know her baby. He said, no, this is my baby. This is not my baby. The one with you is my baby. Anyway, they took the case to King Solomon, the judge of the land. And what did Solomon do? It's amazing, really. Because I know if a king commands something, the expectation is that the king will do what he commanded. So he said, bring the child. Cut the child into two. That's a fact. When I was reading it, and I said, if a king commands and the commandment must be adhered to, if he didn't perceive that the nature of the true mother will show up. And indeed, it showed up. The mother said, no, it's better for my baby to be alive, to be living with somebody else. And the other one, because of the wickedness of her heart, said, no. You might as well just cut it or whatever so that nobody gets the baby alive. That was a unique solution. And I can't imagine it happening now. What would you do? And that was because of the understanding he requested of God, that God gave him. At the end of the day, after people of Israel heard this story, they say, yes, this man really has gotten the wisdom from God. Understanding, tool for life and for living. You know, oftentimes I try to differentiate between knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. You know, even after this ministration, maybe in another 1-2 months or whatever, I'll think, okay, what is the difference between understanding, you know, wisdom, and knowledge? But oftentimes when I'm trying to define it in my mind, I just say, forget it. Doesn't Proverbs 4 verse 7, the word already said that we should get wisdom and get understanding with it. So if you are getting wisdom, understanding goes with it. And the thing is, when you have understanding and you have wisdom, there's no way you can have both of them without having knowledge. Knowledge has to come somehow. Knowledge has to come first. So I differentiate knowledge, understanding, and wisdom as follows. Knowledge is what you get from the use of your senses. Reading, seeing, hearing, all these things that come from your experiences, your exposures. Understanding is deep insight of what you know that gives you the ability to make better judgments. It gives you the ability. You might decide not to use it, but when you use it, it will give you better judgment. Wisdom is how knowledge and understanding reflected or manifested in what you do or say. Once you've done something, the outcome, what you said or done, will reflect if you were wise or you were unwise. So wisdom is manifested. So you acquire knowledge. You develop understanding. And you produce wisdom. Psalm 119 verse 33 says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end." That is to say that God, whatever you've commanded, I will obey. I will obey. Now, verse 34 says, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law." That's about the same thing. "Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart." That is to say that I will obey not only because it's a commandment, but also because I get it. It makes a lot of sense to me. So not just obedience, but obedience from the heart. God's commandments were made for us not just to obey, but to obey with understanding. Your appreciation of why you are to obey makes it easier for you to obey. For instance, when you are commanded to love your neighbor as yourself, it is even more for your benefit because we don't live in isolation. You need to realize that there will be times you will have needs that will require others to show love to you. And it is the hand that you extend to others that will be extended back to you. Your needs will be met based on the needs of others that you have met. So if you understand this, you will gladly show love to others. Understand this. You won't just obey, but you will gladly obey it. So it is not a matter of having to obey, but loving to obey. Loving to be a blessing to others. Now, as God's commandments have reasons for obedience, so are the laws of the land. The laws of the land have reasons for obedience. Laws are made for the benefit of all. And your understanding makes it easy for you to obey. I take, for instance, something unusual, paying taxes. Paying taxes is the law of the land, and the purpose, like I said, is to benefit all, benefit the people. If everyone can pay their taxes and pay fully, there will be more resources for government to develop our communities, our infrastructure, to develop the nation, if people were paying their taxes and paying fully. I search for information on tax revenue as a percentage of GDP in a few countries. And this is what I got. Tax revenue collected by the government as a percentage of GDP. In UK, it was 32.8%. In USA, 25.5%. In Nigeria, 6%. In South Africa, 20.1%. Is it that the percentage of tax that we are paying in Nigeria, is it lower than in those countries? don't think so. I think the issue, the primary issue, is our willingness to pay. And also the ability of regulatory authorities to enforce the payment. We are in a society where people know they can get away with not paying taxes. But when you understand that it's not just a duty to pay taxes, but that it will be beneficial for us all, maybe you won't mind paying your taxes. One thing though, especially if you are a company, if you choose not to pay accurate tax, you will end up bribing tax officials when they come for audits, because they do come for audits. Sometime back, FIRS was coming to do audits of my business. So they usually have written you ahead of time. They will give you like a few weeks and write you and list all the things that they will want. So I got all the things out without stress. And when they came, I met them, okay, gave them a seat, three or four. I bought all the documents, gave to them. And we chatted for like a few minutes or so. Anything else? So I left them and I went, but I went out totally. Within a few hours, they called that they were leaving, that they were through. I was wondering, so quick? Said they were leaving. Okay, no problem. So I couldn't come back to meet them. Usually when they come, you give them something for food or snack or tea. So I didn't give them anything because I didn't get back on time. So and I said, okay. I sent the guy a text. Okay, well, I'm sorry I couldn't meet you, but I have something for you for your refreshment anytime you're around or whatever. To cut the story short, a few days afterwards, he called me and said, okay, well, they need to discuss with me their findings before they make it official and type it out. So they came and they said, you see, sir, we reviewed your tax and we found out that you'll have to pay 11 million naira. Like a difference between what I calculated and what I paid before and what they calculated that I was supposed to pay. If I said, 11 million. I said, okay, no wahala. Let's sit down. Let's know how you got this thing. So and it's a 4-year analysis, 4-year returns. So for every month, I'll compare what I got from my file with what they documented. It was okay. As a matter of fact, there was one particular month, they didn't record 400,000 that I had. So what is 400,000 to 11 million? So after finishing all the analysis, I said, okay, so where's the difference? What's the discrepancy? I said, okay, what is the basis of your calculation? And they said, this turnover in my bank statement. Oh, I was so annoyed. And I said, when I'm annoyed at somebody, I said, I am so disappointed at you. That how can you use that as a basis? So if, for instance, you move an account, money from an account to an account, they will expect that you pay tax on that. If, for instance, you had money in deposit and it matured, they will calculate it as. I said, no, it doesn't work like that. They said, well, what I'll do, I'll analyze all the movements in my account and give it to you, that I'm very straightforward with my tax. And the guy said, even if you do it, it can't be much of a difference. Bottom line, it's like, what are you going to do? I said, let me finish my analysis first. So, I told him to give me a few days to do all the analysis. I did all the analysis, and then the guy came again. I showed him the analysis, and he said, you know what, but he barely looked at it. He said, you know what? That nobody ever pays full tax. Nobody. So, I said, no, me, I pay my own tax completely. He said, well, okay, maybe if you come to our office and come and explain. I said, give me 2 days. So I went to the office. I went to meet the man's boss. And I was trying to justify this and that. After talking for like 30 minutes or so, the boss said, look, nobody pays tax completely. That even as a tax officer, if he or she has been asked to pay 10,000 naira and she pays the government 4,000 naira, she has tried. Wow. I said, well, in this case, you have the wrong person. So he said, okay, so how much are you going to pay? You know, I was annoyed. I said, nothing. I'm not paying nothing. He said, okay, if you're not paying anything, what are you going to do? I said, well, if there's any issue, I'll take it to the highest level possible. Then he said, if that's the case, then I don't have anything to tell you anymore. So we just parted ways, and I left. I never heard from them since that day. My point is this. If you don't want to bribe, you have to do the right thing. You have to do the right thing. Have the understanding to do the right thing. I told the person then that if I made a mistake in my calculation, no, I can understand. I can come to you and say, ah, sorry, I made a mistake. What can we do? But since I didn't make a mistake, I stick to my point. So, like I said, if you don't want to bribe, you do the right thing. Many years back, when I was working in Lagos, I was very busy in my office. So I didn't have time to go and renew my vehicle license. Days kept going. I think probably almost a month, probably or more, I didn't renew my vehicle license. Unfortunately, one day, I was just stopped at, I think, Ikonri roundabout. And the guy got me and said, okay. And I don't know if he wrote something out, not a ticket. Anyway, he said I should come to the office the following day. When I got to the office, I told my colleagues, and they said, ah, better go and see the person and give him something. And I went to the office of the officer the following day, and I said, doing like this, that one just refused totally. Say, aha. So what's going to happen? Say, you have to go to court. So I showed up at the magistrate court somewhere in Yaba or thereabout. Before the case was called, the lawyer of the state met with my lawyer and myself and discussing, negotiating. And they said, I have to do something. Magistrate, and my lawyer advised, just do the thing. To cut the story short, the magistrate called me and said he had told his lawyer to frisk me and know how much I had and all that. And he acknowledged getting the money. And the case was dispersed. If I had done the right thing, I wouldn't have any reason to give that money. Now, the understanding point of this is this. When events happen to you, what do you learn from there? How do you run with the knowledge you get, the exposures you get into, the experiences you get into? You are wiser. So since that time of this vehicle license thing, what I do is like, when the vehicle license is expiring, once I get a renewal, it will show the expiry date. I just key it into my phone so that it will remind me at least 2 days ahead. And that's what I've been doing all along. There are times when the police or road safety, they stop my wife My wife would, out of confidence that the papers are correct, I would just, There was one day, I didn't renew the thing. Of course, they harassed her. About last month too, I didn't renew on time. So I quickly called her that the thing has expired though. When they stop, you don't do any chakarao. You don't have any mouth. And she behaved herself. Understanding is a tool for living. Next year is election year. We need to vote for the right person to straighten our country. We need to vote for the right person. And it takes understanding to know that every single vote counts. Every single vote. You use your vote to pick who you want to lead you. You don't have any other opportunity to choose who will lead you. This is your one chance. And you need to understand that the more the people that vote for a candidate, the more difficult it is for opponents to want to alter the outcome of the election. Many years back, I wasn't voting. I didn't vote many years back. I think up till Obasanjo's election, 2003, thereabouts, I wasn't voting. At this particular time, in 2003 or so, during the election period for presidency, I took my family. I took them to Lagos. Let's go and stay in a hotel and relax and let people be voting. On the morning of the election, my family, my wife and children went to the restaurant. Went down the elevator, went to the restaurant. And I said I will meet them later. So when I was leaving for the restaurant, I entered the elevator. And who did I see there? I saw all these foreign observers who come to observe the election. And one of them got chatting with me. Oh, how are you doing? And all that. And he asked if I was going to vote. You're going to vote for your next leader? I said, oh, no, I'm not. I'm going to have my breakfast. Wow. He said, wow. Oh, what a shame for an educated person like you not to want to choose the leader of your country. Wow. Luckily, the elevator opened and he left. And I was ashamed, true. So I think I walked to the restaurant, told my wife and children that I'll be back. So I went back upstairs. I was a regional manager in the bank then, so I had the influence of everybody under me anyway. So I said, okay, well, for that loss of one vote, I will regain many. So I started calling on my staff. Are you going to vote? No, you must go. Are you going to vote? Get out, you must go. So for the vote I lost, I was able to recoup many. My lesson thereafter, not any year after that, I will go out and vote. It is your right, it's your duty. And it's beneficial. Understand that it is needed, your vote is needed to make a change in this country. So get your voter's card, upload your picture. I learned that if you don't have your picture uploaded, you might get to the polling booth and be disqualified. So make sure you have your picture uploaded. The issue now is, who do we vote for? We still have the time to seek knowledge about the candidates. But don't believe everything you hear about those candidates. People will send things in social media. You need to pray for discernment to be able to assess which one is realistic, which one is not realistic. One thing is that we are not looking for a perfect president. If we are looking for one, I'm sure we'll probably get around amongst us here. But we are looking for the appropriate, suitable president for a time like this. So understanding is about reasoning. It is the why in the matter. So when you vote Adiku, why? When you vote Tinubu, why? When you vote Obi, why? When you vote any other candidate, why? Why are you voting for them? You should have good reasons. I remember the story of Rehoboam. I won't read it now because of our time. I remembered it when Pastor Bayo was ministering last week. You know, he kept mentioning something about understanding the times, understanding the times. And that story came to my mind. So I noted it down to talk about it briefly today. If you remember the story, there was a reason for him to listen to counsel from the elders who were advising his father in the days of his father. And they told him what to do. Be nice, be this, you know, listen to them and all that. And then he went to his own colleagues that grew up together and said, so what do you guys say? They said, no, you should be harder, you should be harsher, even like your father and all that. And he passed the information to the people of Israel. And of course, that didn't go well. So, Israel parted way with Rehoboam. At that time, in that country, Rehoboam, even as reflected in the Bible, made an unwise decision. But still, we need to realize that there are times when a nation requires a stern leader. A stern leader and not a gentleman. Especially at a time like this when the whole system seems corrupted and in disorder. Hardly can you find an incorruptible establishment. Government, forget it. Private, maybe. Even in religious organizations. The difference is the level of corruption. The difference in the level. It might be higher here, it might be lower there. But there's a lot of things going on in the country. So in this case of Nigeria, at this time, whose counsel should we need? The counsel of the youth or the counsel of the old politicians who brought us this far anyway? Let's have good reason for choosing our next president. So before we exercise our ability to make better judgments, let us get detailed information about these candidates. Let us get detailed information about these candidates to enable us to understand who they are and what are their capabilities. Let's analyze the candidates based on various criteria. Is he a visionary leader? Is he firm? But at least someone that has a heart for the people. That is critical. Is he courageous to tackle the problems of Nigeria, especially the insecurity? Is he a man of integrity? Is he highly knowledgeable? Does he communicate well? Can he motivate and inspire? Is he in good health? Those are the things that we should be thinking about. If you look at all these parameters, for instance, I don't know if any one of them will pass in all of them. Like I said, we are not looking for the perfect leader. We are looking for the most suitable at this time. Our prayer is for the Lord to give us the ability to discern between a good and a bad leader. It takes understanding to avoid a conflict or war. Understanding to avoid a conflict or war. When the war between Russia and Ukraine started, there's the passage that came to my mind. And I will tell people, and it's a few people that, and they it's like, they don't know where it is. Me too, I couldn't find where it was. I even checked online, I couldn't find. Maybe I didn't ask the right question. One day I woke up early in the morning, 4 a.m., and I was reading my Bible, and the thing came. It was like, wow, this is it. What is it? Nothing big deal. No big deal. It's in Luke 14, 31 to 32. It says, or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for conditions of peace. And I look at the war between Russia and Ukraine, it's quite pathetic. A lot of destruction, property, life, everything. As a matter of fact, anytime I think about it, one picture that comes to my mind every time, it's a picture of when the war started and people were trying to get out of the country. Women and their children, and the men were left behind. Getting to the train station and having to kiss and say goodbye. Goodbye as if the war would last for a month or 2 weeks. The goodbye could last for a year, and the goodbye could be really, really goodbye forever. And what is it? So I just thought, maybe Ukraine should have settled ahead, agree ahead to something. Because right now, Russia is going ahead. They're taking over. They're strategic places, places they want. They're getting there by force. Meanwhile, we could have avoided conflict by understanding. Ecclesiastes 3:1-8 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, time to gain, time to lose, time to keep, time to throw away, time to tear, time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate. I don't know about this hating thing though. A time of war and a time for peace. All these events are events of life and living. They are daily activities of men and women. It takes understanding to appreciate what season it is and to make a wise judgment at that moment. So to close, how do you get understanding? Quickly, number one, as Solomon did, he asked for understanding. Pray always for understanding. Number two, Proverbs 2 says, from verse 1 says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So we need to develop a lifestyle of consistent learning, always studying, always hearing, always watching. Proverbs 1 verse 5 says, the wise will hear and increase learning, and the man of understanding will attain wise counsel. It will attain wise counsel. What else can you do? You remember the story of Philip and the Ethiopian? You know, Philip went to explain what the Ethiopian eunuch read it. Don't wait for people to come and explain. Seek people who can communicate with, you can communicate with and learn from. And lastly, take time to think. As you increase in knowledge, take time once in a while, analyze things. Why? What if? Any alternative? Understanding is about considering a matter deeply, and it will give you the ability to make wise decisions that will make your life and living better.